Okay, well, NTIRJWB4AIO in the Midweek Liberty Net. Quick call. Any other people want to check into the Midweek Liberty Net before I make my transmission? Okay, nothing heard. I wanted to talk, Marty, about the founding fathers a little bit, the founders of this nation. There are so many people that are on the conservative side of the political spectrum or the populist side or the pro-Trump side of the political spectrum who, I mean, they're good people. They're definitely good people, and they mean well, and they're trying to do good. They're trying to stand up for this country and our people. But they accept the enemy's premises. And when I say they accept the enemy's premises, the premise they accept is that it's bad to stand up for your own race. That's the main premise that they accept, that there's something wrong about favoring your own race. There's something immoral about being concerned about the survival, the welfare, and the integrity of your own race, your own people. That people have accepted the leftist idea that that is somehow immoral, and you can hear it in a thousand different ways in the way they express themselves. They say, well, I want to build the wall, but I'm not a racist. I think all races are equal. Oh, I want to stop the welfare leeches, but oh, I'm not a racist. I think, you know, that everybody's the same. That's my sweetheart texting me. I'll get to that after my transmission. So many different noises here at WB4AIO. So they accept the enemy's premises. They'll say, I'm for this policy, but that doesn't mean I'm a racist. That doesn't mean, you know. And they've accepted the premise that there really is something disreputable or wrong about standing up for your own people or favoring your own people. In fact, there's a phrase that the leftists who control the media and the Jewish organizations that dominate the public discourse and own the major media have inserted into our minds and into the public debate. And that phrase is, or term is, white privilege. That there's something wrong with white privilege and that we all need to acknowledge it and work to fight against white privilege. Well, on the face of it, the whole concept is just preposterous because in Zimbabwe, as bad as that country is, at least the Zimbabweans are not so stupid as to say, oh, there's something wrong with Zimbabweans having privilege and having first place in Zimbabwe. Everybody knows that if you're in Zimbabwe, the country is there for the Zimbabweans. It's for them. It's designed to benefit them, and they come first, and they should come first. In China, nobody says, oh, there's Chinese privilege. We need to make sure that we have plenty of Africans and Arabs and Muslims and Christians and Europeans and all kinds of different groups in our society, and we have to make sure they're all equal. No, they don't believe any preposterous thing like that. They would never apologize for quote-unquote Chinese privilege. They would say, this is China. It's our country. It's designed by us, for us. China is a country for Chinese people. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Japan is the same thing. Japan is a country for Japanese people. Vietnam is a country for Vietnamese people. Kenya is a country for Kenyans, for Africans. They come first. So, in European countries and historically white countries, there's nothing wrong with those countries being primarily by and for the people who founded them. Britain for the British, France for the French, Italy for the Italians, And America, which essentially is an offshoot of European civilization, America for the Americans. That's the way the founding fathers thought. And I tell you, I am so sick, this is WB4AIO, of hearing from patriots and conservatives that, oh, we're a nation of immigrants, though. That's why I'm not a racist. I'm for the Constitution, but I'm anti-racist. I'm against white supremacy. That's just, it's a contradictory position. You can't hold both positions at once and be honorable or rational. Because the founding fathers set this country up specifically for, quote, and I quote from the Constitution, our posterity, which means our lineal descendants, meaning white people. It was considered to be a requirement by the founding fathers and the first Congress of the United States, presided over by George Washington and John Adams, that you had to be of European descent to be a citizen of the United States. That was built into the Constitution. That's built into the laws of the land. That is what the founding fathers wanted. And there are plenty of quotes I could give from prominent Americans to support that fact. I mean, first of all, Thomas Jefferson himself, the man who wrote the Declaration of Independence, before he wrote the Declaration of Independence, he wrote a law which made racial mixing illegal in the state of Virginia. He's the author of the law. And other provisions of the law written by Thomas Jefferson were free blacks were forbidden to enter the state. Blacks that were freed in Virginia were required to leave the state within 1 year. Racial mixing that led to the bearing of a mixed race child, the parents were required to leave Virginia within 1 year. And anyone who violated those statutes and did not leave the state were to be placed, quote, according to Jefferson, outside the protection of the laws, close quote. That is, they could be dealt with by anyone in any way with absolute impunity, which was the original meaning of the term outlaw, and which certainly constituted a terrible punishment. Another thing Jefferson said, and this is a direct quote from his book, Notes on the State of Virginia, 1781, quote, and it's talking about slavery. Now, Jefferson was against slavery. He was against black slavery. But here's what he said about it. Among the Romans, emancipation, that is freeing of the slaves, required but one effort. The slave, when made free, might mix with, without staining the blood of his master. But with us, a second is necessary, unknown to history. When freed, he is to be removed beyond the reach of mixture. Close quote. So that's what Thomas Jefferson said. So I want all of those patriots who think that racial mixing is A-OK to listen very carefully to the original provisions of the first laws of the United States, the Constitution, and the words of the founders themselves, and you'll find out that your position is historically and morally and logically untenable. And to IRJ, are you back yet, or should I continue down the list? This is WB4AIO. LibertyNet. And Larry, I guess it goes back to you since you're at the top of the list. I wanted to say I agree with you about not putting Harriet Tubman on the $20 bill. But you know what? That money really isn't even our money. It's put out by the Federal Reserve Bank, which is just a branch of the commercial banks. It's not a government agency. And that's one of the greatest sins of the 20th century was the giving of the power to create money over to the private banks and especially the private Federal Reserve Bank and taking it away from Congress. One of the last things that John F. Kennedy did was issue some United States notes, which are not Federal Reserve notes. They were U.S. government money. That's one of the last things he did before he died. But unfortunately, ever since then, and for the most part, ever since 1913, when the Federal Reserve Bank was established, all of our money has been banker money lent to the United States government, and all the taxpayers have to pay interest on this money that the bankers create out of nothing. So maybe in a way it would be better if everybody on all the Federal Reserve notes that isn't really American money anyway. It should all, maybe they should put Karl Marx and Jacob Schiff and Alan Greenspan and Martin Luther King holding aloft a giant hammer and sickle. You know, maybe they should be in our money. Get rid of Jefferson. That would actually be more honest. But if the United States government ever does start legally issuing lawful money again, which I think they should do, and kick the Federal Reserve Bank and the fractional reserve banking system out of this country, then I think we should put Washington, Jefferson, and especially Jackson, who fought against private banks in this country, back on our money. So that's my opinion about that. And for ROQ and the Great Midweek Liberty Net, this is WB4AIO. It's your turn. Okay, nothing heard at this moment. N4ROQ in the Midweek Liberty Net, WB4AIO in Western Pennsylvania. And interesting commentary about refugees coming into Tennessee. Well, it's not just happening in Tennessee. These migrants, some of whom are really not refugees, in my opinion. They're just coming here because they want to take over this country. But some of whom really are refugees are coming in, not just in Tennessee, but it's happening in all 50 states of the Union. WB4AIO for ID. And it's something that doesn't get a lot of publicity, I think, because the major media like CNN, NBC, CBS, and the rest of them, they have an agenda. They're owned by Middle Easterners. They're owned by Jews. And their agenda is to keep the borders open. They may not like Muslims that much. They may not like Arabs that much. But you know what? Their overarching goal of getting rid of us and bringing chaos to our country, just like they brought chaos to Iraq and Syria, is more important than their dislike of Muslims. And so they want the borders open. So they don't talk much about these refugees and other migrants coming in. But it's happening in all 50 states. And there's a really excellent website. It's run by a woman named Ann Corcoran that covers the refugee resettlement programs and all of the outrageous things that are going on in Tennessee and every state of the Union when it comes to refugee resettlement. Ann Corcoran's website is very easy to remember. It's called Refugee Resettlement Watch. If you just go to Google or whatever your favorite search engine is on the internet and look up Refugee Resettlement Watch, you can get a ton of news about refugees and refugee resettlement in the United States and exactly how it works. And I've learned from her site that the three biggest groups that are bringing in these refugees are Catholic Charities, just like you mentioned, Lutheran Social Services, and the biggest one of all is a Jewish group, the HIAS, or Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. So those three groups, Catholic Charities, Lutheran Social Services, and Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, are bringing in these refugees. And I tell you, just like I said earlier about the Founding Fathers, that this country was not intended to be a hodgepodge of multiple races and peoples and a broken down failed state like Syria with all these different ethnic groups constantly vying for position, constantly fighting the others, constantly disagreeing with no national unity. That's what we're headed for, a disaster. That's not what the founders intended, and it's certainly not what we should have. We need a strong man. Maybe Trump isn't quite strong enough. You said, you know, we need to. It's hard to get anything passed to stop this immigrant flow, is what you said, Larry, and I agree with that. It is hard to get anything passed. Maybe we need a strong man to make executive decisions that don't have anything to do with getting something passed. Maybe that's what we need. And if we had that, we could deal with this problem in a heartbeat. And maybe that's what we need to do. Now, I do have sympathy. I'm going to differ with some people on the Liberty Net. I do have sympathy for those people over there in those Arab and Muslim countries whose countries have been devastated by these wars. These wars have been basically incited by the Israel lobby and caused directly, in many cases, by the United States of America either funding these rebel groups like ISIS or ISIS's allies, which we like to call moderate rebels, but really are allies of ISIS in many cases, or directly making war on these people's countries, as we did in Afghanistan, as we did in Iraq, as we're continuing to do with our drone warfare all over the Middle East, in Pakistan and other countries, in Afghanistan. It's just unbelievable. Those people in the Middle East in 1948, before the State of Israel was founded and before America started all this meddling on behalf of Israel, those people didn't hate the United States. Those people weren't trying to invade the United States. We had a very good relationship, you know, at a distance. Good fences make good neighbors with those people. And they were not enemies of the U.S. But in recent decades, we have been bombing the hell and sending drones in to literally murder these people by the hundreds of thousands. We've set up embargoes that starved 500,000 children or more. We send drone missiles into apartment buildings. I mean, it's no wonder these people hate us. And we have made them homeless. And I don't approve of that. I mean, I don't believe in racial mixing. I don't believe in multicultural societies. I don't believe in that. I don't want them here. But I don't hate them. And I don't want us to be messing up their society. Really, we're doing the opposite of what we should do, Larry. We are bombing the hell out of and killing and murdering innocent Muslims, the ones who stayed home in their own countries who were minding their own business. We're killing, we're slaughtering them by the hundreds of thousands. And then, after we make them hate us, and their hate is very justifiable, very justified, after we make them hate us, we import them by the millions into our country to commit acts of terror, to express their hatred, to try to take us down. Is that a sane policy? No, we should stop killing the innocent Muslims over there in their own countries, stop fighting all these wars for Israel, and put a wall up and keep them all in their own countries and give them, maybe, you know, give them a hand to compensate for all the horror we have caused to them to help rebuild their countries. I'd be for that. But they should stay in their own countries. They should make their own countries better by whatever standards and values they have. They should not come here. What we're doing in the Middle East, it's sort of like going up to a hornet's nest and taking a stick and jamming the stick into the hornet's nest. And then when you get the hornets totally enraged and angry at you, then you take the hornet's nest and you take it into bed with you. I mean, that's pretty much what we're doing with these Middle Easterners. So any further remarks, Larry, before I go on further down the list? N4ROQ, WB4AIO. Okay, last call. Are there any further check-ins for the Midweek Liberty Net? Go ahead now.
KD0RSA, Moen, Nebraska.
Well, hello, Mo, KD0RSA, Mo in Nebraska. Go ahead. This is WB4AIO.
KD0RSA, well, you were talking about them Muslims over there where they get bombed. But if you look at the people that they show coming out of them places, I haven't seen a skinny one yet. They're all fed quite well, so I don't know what's going on.
Oh, you're saying that the Muslims who are living in the Middle East are well-fed? Is that what you're saying?
That's the way it looks to me, because you see them on the TV, the TV shows them coming out of them bombed-out buildings, and I haven't seen a skinny one yet, over.
Okay. Well, maybe you're right. I confess that I have not studied that. I wonder if the the people in the various Middle Eastern countries have an obesity problem like Americans have, I don't know. I haven't really thought about that, but maybe they are reasonably well fed. I know that oftentimes people who are poor in other countries, and this may not apply to the U.S. where we have access to a lot of junk food, but I have noticed that in general, not just in the Middle East, but all over the world, that people who are poor in third world countries often look healthier than Americans do because they don't have access to junk food, and instead they eat dates and they eat fruit right off the trees and they eat vegetables they grow in their own vegetable gardens. So, you know, a lot of them are pretty well fed. I'll have to acknowledge that. Any other comments, Mo?
I'm having trouble hearing you, so I'll just sit here and listen at the present time. Over.
Okay, thank you very much for checking in, KD0RSA, WB4AIO. Sorry you're having trouble hearing me. I'm hearing you okay. Any other check-ins for the Midweek Liberty Net? Go now. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. We've been on for a little over an hour and a half, and I guess we're going to close down the net at this time. I hope that our regular net control station will be able to come back and run the net. Next week, Marty N2IRJ had some kind of problem. He installed a piece of new equipment at his station, and I don't know whether it was the equipment itself or some connection that came loose behind Marty's rack when he put in the equipment, but he was having trouble keying his amplifier and keying the various control circuits that control both the amplifier, the linear amplifier for his RF signal, and also the recording software, or the recording devices that he has to record both the net and his own voice and do the streaming. So sounds like some of those relays were not keying properly, and it's a problem that I'm sure is soluble, and I hope Marty can solve it in time for hopefully the Saturday net, the main Liberty net, and if not that, at least the Midweek Liberty net next time. So thank you all for participating. Thank you to you, Larry. Thank you to Bill, KC2UAO, and Bill, WB4BDC. Thanks to Mo, KD0RSA, and especially thanks to Marty and to IRJ. And I will turn the frequency over to normal amateur use if any of you guys want to just operate roundtable or whatever you want to do. The frequency is now free, 73. And for ROQ, KC2UAO, N2IRJ, WB4BDC, KD0RSA. This is WB4AIO for the Midweek Liberty Net, saying 73 and good night.
Good night, Kevin. Sounding great down here. Good to be a part of the net there, back to N4ROQ.
Okie doke. And Marty, if you want to do some tests, I guess the frequency's clear. 73, Larry, 73, everybody.
73.